Midweek fixtures mean a Monday FPL pod. We discuss the final week of our assistant managerships, impressive form from teams who annoyingly blanked in 29, and there's a lot of love for Jarrod Bowen. Good morning, happy Monday. It's FPL Pod with you. No, it's not off the bench because there is a midweek round of action. FPL Pod team are back with you and there is a little bit of normality which is resuming. Kelly Summers back with you, Sam Bonfield with you once again, and he's back in the UK, back with the podcast. Jules, we've disappointed in you last week.
Hello, guys. I missed you last week. I really did. I kind of like not really think too much about FPL for a week in Morocco. So I'm glad to be back now.
Refreshed and recharged. Did you see the photos that we posted where we were, the videos that you kindly sent in, which were very long, by the way? We saw you, but you were upside down.
I didn't see.
Yeah, it was great.
How come I was upside down? I was upside down. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's what Ian actually posted that saying. It was better.
I saw him yesterday at the City Liverpool game. He didn't mention that. It was very kind, not like you two.
You'd expect nothing different. Okay, so Jules hasn't thought too much about FPL. Hopefully, you've got your brain back into it today again for us, Jules. But Sam, we do have a midweek round of action, don't we? We've got a Tuesday deadline for game week 27. It's a 6 o'clock deadline. This is your first reminder. That's 90 minutes ahead of Brighton taking on Bournemouth, Palace against Villa, and Wolves entertaining Fulham. It's that time of year, isn't it? It's not that time of year because that time of year is Christmas. But there is a few cheeky midweeks over the next few weeks that you maybe just need to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, and this is where the people that pay real close attention to their FPL teams will come into their own, and those that forget deadlines will have a problem because Tuesday night deadlines are difficult. Jules,
sorry, we've got
talking
those,
about you.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be all right this week. You're not going to forget another one, are you?
I almost forgot last weekend. It's only Ian's message about his assistant manager Chip in the group that was like, oh, let me just double check. I just arrived back in the country though.
2 weeks in
ridiculous.
A row, Jules. We could have missed
know,
it for that would have been really bad. We won't discuss you missing the deadline the other week because you did refer to that in the video that you sent us. Let's look back on what the game week that was that we haven't yet discussed. I'm getting so confused with all the game weeks and when Jules was and wasn't here. So your game week, Sam. Firstly, you had a really good game week, 78 points. You kept your assistant manager with Emery, and you actually rolled your transfers altogether, didn't you?
Yeah, got myself in a right stress after I left you on Wednesday and couldn't decide what to do. And I think I was saying to you and Ian when I saw you last week that I was in that real predicament where I thought, well, my transfers are really valuable at the moment because of game week 29. And I wasn't sure if I fancied moving the assistant managership because obviously it was going to use a transfer. And then I didn't know what to do about Morgan Rodgers and Luis Diaz, and I wanted to watch that game on Wednesday evening before I decided. And then when Luis Diaz had a rest, I was like, oh, I have to really keep you now, aren't I, for the weekend? Like, you're gonna have to stay. And Morgan Rodgers, I thought, well, I could get rid of you, but I didn't really know where I'd go. And so in the end, I thought, I'm so confused as to what I actually think is the right thing to do, because there's so many different strategies in my head. Probably the best thing to do is just to do nothing, change my vice captain and let it roll through. On reflection, I should have done the Emery to Glasner thing, because even if that had caused me to take a -4, I'd have still been 8 points better off for doing that. So on reflection, that would have been the right thing to do. But having said that, Emery, you know, it's another 8 points. And I think had you said that I'd get 44 out of my assistant manager over the 3 weeks, I think I'd have been quite happy with that. So I'm trying not to feel too negatively about not moving from Emery to Glasner.
Yeah, for once, chasing that table bonus paid off for me. 20 points for Glasner was really nice. Jules, you still haven't activated that assistant manager chip. Would you have activated it had you remembered the deadline, not this game week, the game week before?
Not with the announcement of the
double
game week. I think that changed everything. And I got 63 points this weekend, but it feels like a lot of people suddenly in my mini leagues, like you guys and others, played the assistant manager chip. And I think the difference in points as well is reflected in where I am, because if you add 63 and, I don't know, 10 or 12, I'm not far from you, for example. So I was not too unhappy, although things could have got obviously a bit better, like benching Virgil van Dijk, which I'm not really sure exactly why I did it.
I benched Trent as well, Jules. Why did I do that?
My oldest one benched Konate as well. And we were like, why did we do this? Because we knew how bad Manchester City are anyway. There was no way they would score a goal against this Liverpool defence. So it was really weird. I don't know why I did it. But
I don't stick up for you very often, but it's because I made a similar decision. But I do think, I know City were awful in the Champions League, but they did look better the week before. And it did just feel to me like, surely they'll get one. I believe Liverpool will win. But Liverpool have looked a little bit, well, they were brilliant yesterday.
Fatigued, maybe. Yeah,
fatigued. And I just thought, if Wolves could score against Liverpool, surely Manchester City can. But
true. That's a fair point. Although I knew Haaland would not play and I knew City were not going to be good enough. So I was at the game yesterday watching and I'm like, why did I bench Virgil? Like Virgil played literally in his sofa. He played in the bath. He played like literally in bed. It was so easy for him and Konate that I was like, well, anyway.
The problem I had was that I had three other defenders with really nice fixtures in Gabriel, Robinson and Kerkez. I didn't want to bench any of them. But in hindsight, should I have played Morgan Rodgers? Probably not. So
yeah,
but I only brought Morgan Rodgers in a couple of weeks ago. So I want to get the maximum points out of him while I can, though he's not really getting any points at the moment. So that's not really working. As I said, I went with Glasner, which went really nicely. 20 points for him. And it made me feel a little bit better about my decision to go with Slot and play safer with Slot in the first couple of weeks. So yeah, overall, I think the assistant managership, Jules, you should be quite excited by it because even if you don't chase the table bonus, which by the way, I think you should, for the first 2 weeks when I didn't, Slot is a really, really nice option. I almost think there's two ways you can go. You go with Slot because they're the most reliable team in the league.
Yeah.
Or you really gamble.
Or you gamble, yeah.
There's
you
no in between.
You have to gamble, I think.
Yeah. I mean, certainly for me, with my, you know, my season is not a great season in FPL right now anyway. So I think if you're in the top, I don't know, 500k, for example, in the world, you might have to play a bit safer and get the points that you're sure you're going to get instead of maybe gambling. For other people outside of the top 500,000, for example, I think it's great fun to go. And I would have done Glasner like you, Kels. I would do Ange this midweek 100% because I think Spurs are going to beat City at home. So this is when it's really fun. And I can't wait to play. I will play probably in 31 to 33, which would be great. But I just can't wait to play for that and see what happens.
Okay, we'll just quickly check in on the FPL Pod Mini League before we discuss some of the bigger talking points from the game week. Charlie Shepherd is back at the top. He had the assistant manager on Emery, like Sam did, got 94 points. Max Littleproud is down to second. He moved the assistant managership from Slot to Arteta, who got 0 points in game week 26. Charlie is now 6 points ahead of Max. Jake Poplawski and Michael Williams hold their spots in third and fourth, respectively, whilst Chris Gardner climbed up into tied fourth with 100 points for the game week. The code for the mini league is Q7YCO0. Okay, then, as I said at the beginning of the pod, it is FPL Pod, not off the bench. There's no off the bench this week. So we're just going to do a bit more of a recap, other than our terrible Liverpool decisions on game week 26 to see what we learned about. I do want to start with that game, though, because Jules, it did feel like you were there. Liverpool, after, I mean, it wasn't really a big wobble, was it? But after maybe a bit of fatigue, as you said, they were back to their brilliant best. And whilst a lot of people may be looking to sell Liverpool players ahead of game week 29, and there was a bit of a reminder in there that we can't really, can we?
Exactly. You're so right. I mean, yeah, if you have three of them already, then you know that you can't really keep them all for the week, that game week 29 when they will blank because of the League Cup final. But Salah is just so good. He's even better when you are actually in the stadium and looking at every single of his movements. Like I said before, Van Dijk, Konate especially, and Alisson were easy. Trent had a few struggles against Doku, which we expected. This is the kind of winger that he hates playing against. And a bit on the other side for Robertson. But then Szoboszlai is so efficient, Diaz so efficient, McAllister, Gravenberg, they're just such an efficient team. They don't even have to play great. They didn't even have to go into second gear to win that game. And City were disappointing, and we know they're not very good this season. But Liverpool was just so much in control. It was actually great to see.
Yeah, it was great to see, wasn't it? And Sam, I was thinking that maybe I could sell Trent, but actually I just think I want to have Trent and Mo Salah throughout now.
Yeah, Salah in away matches this season is ridiculous. So he's now got 182 points in away matches this season, 16 goals and 11 assists. That is more points away from home than anybody else has got combined home and away fixtures this year. The next best in the league total is Cole Palmer, who's got 177 points in both home and away fixtures, which is mad. He's already on 285 points. He is on track to be the highest ever FPL scoring player in the game. I think with Salah, he's just going to be a hold. And I think with Trent, I was like you thinking that, you know, maybe I could sell him and then look to bring him back in again after game week 30. And I think the thing is that when you're looking at your team for game week 29, you kind of got to make a decision about what positions you want to target, because it's all very well and good saying, well, I'm going to bench this one and that one and the other one. But if you want to play three forwards, then you can't afford to carry Isak through. And if you want to play, you know, three at the back, then you've got to bench a couple of defenders, which means it's going to be more difficult to bench both Salah and Isak. So you have to kind of think about what your team structure is going to look like for 29 as well. But for me, I think I'm going to be with you, Kels. I think Trent will be taking a seat on my bench going into game week 29. And then, yes, I could sell and bring him straight back in on wildcard, but there is a little bit of value in him as well. So yeah, same. I don't want to lose that.
I think a lot of us were maybe thinking of selling Trent because we needed the money for the likes of Haaland. And obviously now there's question marks about his fitness and stuff. So maybe there's still a couple of weeks for it all to change, isn't there? But yeah, at the moment, it feels like if you're going to sell Liverpool, be prepared or at least have a plan to bring them back in. Interestingly, Marmoush was one of the most transferred in players. Was he the most transferred in player, actually? Or was he the second? He was just behind Kluivert, I think.
Just
him
behind,
and, yeah. Him and Kluivert were the two most transferred in players. Jules, what did you make of Marmoush in the flesh? Because there's a lot of excitement from FPL managers and everyone because he's that bit cheaper. Would be a nice way into the City attack potentially, eventually?
Yeah, well, especially with Haaland. Yeah. Being injured, doubtful. We're not really sure exactly when. Pep was quite optimistic yesterday that he could come back for the Spurs game on Wednesday night. The thing with Marmoush, he's full of energy and he's clearly very athletic and he's quick. He runs a lot. For me, he runs too much. He wants to go in every space, every channel, after every ball, all the time. He wants the ball, which is not a bad thing. This is not Guardiola City. This is not how they play. They play in such a structure, control, organized way. Mm. He plays like a Bundesliga player, which he is, and he's still young and he still has to learn the Guardiola style of football. A style of football, by the way, that is struggling at the moment because the City's identity is all over the place right now. So I think he's a bit of a mess with Marmoush. So he's capable of a hat-trick against Newcastle for sure. And yesterday, he tries to shoot for 25 yards in a really tight angle. There was no need. It was an easy save for Alisson. He tries a lot of things. And yeah, he scored a goal, although he was offside. But there was not enough end product for him yesterday. So there's still a lot of work, I think, to be done from him, from Guardiola, and the rest of the City team to accommodate him the best way possible. But for me, it's too early to bring him in the team. I just think he's still a bit all over the place.
Yeah, it feels like it's a weird time in City again at the moment, isn't it? We keep thinking that we're going to want to invest and then something like yesterday happens and kind of makes us check our plans. Okay then, let's talk about some of the other players in that. I thought Arsenal 0, West Ham 1, big shock. Can we call it a shock? Yeah, we can call it a shock, can't we? Jules is definitely calling it a shock. Big shock. Jarrod Bowen, second 10-point return in the last 3 weeks. Leicester in midweek. Should we be looking his way, Sam?
Yeah, that's probably going to be my transfer in this week.
Spoiler alert. Didn't even know that when I asked you that.
He's my differential, by the way. Just so
is
you
he?
Know.
Yeah. Well, there you go then. He's also was going to be mine, so.
Don't bother listening on to the rest of the podcast. There's the transfers, there's differentials. See you later. Have a good game week.
To be fair, I had him as one of my potential differentials as well. Good, I've got a backup. We've done that 2 weeks in a row now, Jules. Pick the same
great
one.
Great minds, you know.
Yeah, something like that. I was really impressed by Jarrod Bowen over the last few weeks. Since he's come back from injury, he's obviously had 2 10-point returns in 3 weeks, which is, you know, decent. And when you think about the price point that he's at, he's a nice way in at a point where, you know, you probably have got midfielders that you want to get rid of, whether that be a Morgan Rogers if you've got a little bit of money in the bank, or a Luis Diaz like I have, or another player that blanks in game week 29. Like, there's probably a route in there for Jarrod Bowen. And I think West Ham, I don't think they're back yet. I think this was a shock result. I wasn't expecting this one. And, you know, we talked, didn't we, last week about going Potter, and we kind of all went, no, we can't see an upset against Arsenal. And to be fair, it was only really that one attack that West Ham had, and Bowen, you know, scores it. But yeah, I think he's probably going to be my transfer in this week because it's a nice run of fixtures. It's Leicester up next in midweek. So for me, Bowen is looking like a really nice option and a really good differential because nobody has him at the moment.
Yeah, what about Arsenal then, Jules?
We don't have enough time on the show. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, you have no strikers, no forwards really, not much going forward attacking-wise. You play Merino as a number 9, which from the start, struggled to understand. And then defensively, where you're supposed to be strong, so at least you know you're going to get 1 point, which is better than zero. Then you let a goal in like this, Calafiori, Gabriel, Rice. I mean, Rice has Bowen next to him through the hole. Bowen gets the ball back on the edge of his own box and then runs all the way to the Arsenal 6 yard box and then scores. And Rice is with him the whole way pretty much and doesn't mark him. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But this Forest away on Wednesday I'm not confident. I would not be confident with Arsenal going there, even if Forest have just been battered by lost against Newcastle after being battered for the first half. I think it's really, really tricky times ahead for Arsenal, even in the Champions League.
How are you feeling about that double Arsenal defence, Sam?
When the Arsenal double defence goes, it's so annoying because you kind of like, and I was banking on that this week as well, like in my head before the game week, and I should never do it, but I'm always like, right, who do I think is going to return? It's the way I decide on how I'm going to bench people, is roughly how many points do I think they're going to get. How do I feel about it against Nottingham Forest? Not great, but I might end up benching Timber just because that gives me an opportunity to not play both of them against Nottingham Forest, because as we've seen, Nottingham Forest, you know, they conceded 4 to Newcastle, but in that second half, their attack was good again and they've been good this season. So I definitely can see Forest scoring against Arsenal in midweek. So maybe actually playing the double defence isn't the right thing to do. I think it's different if your double defence is Raya and Gabriel, because Gabriel obviously has the greater attacking threat. Then maybe it's harder to bench. But with Timber, I can probably bench him and play Robinson instead.
Ranieri, a lot of people were looking at him in terms of, what is he, 4.5 million as a cheap way into the Arsenal attack, Jules. But I think maybe people's excitement might have been tempered a little bit by this weekend.
Yeah, but again, I think he's your most informed player, certainly attacking-wise, and you hardly use him in that game, which didn't, again, I was really struggling to understand watching the game, why he was not more involved, because as we saw against Leicester, not that it was a massive, super great game from an Arsenal point of view, but he was the one that made things happen. He gave the assist on the first Marino goal. He hit the woodwork twice. Give him the ball. You just give him the ball. He's Cresswell is like 75 years old, and then Scholes is like
he's
a young
kid.
He's
about the same age as me, actually. So
I think he's younger than me.
Yeah. So, but like this, you know, this is where, more than even Wan-Bissaka or the right hand side of West Ham, the left hand side defensively was where you could have gone.
I'm younger
then.
Than Aaron Crespo.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Not much, 75 and your age. I don't know. But I expect Arsenal to really bounce back, though, certainly in terms of attitude and everything, to give it more of a fight against Forest on Wednesday night. Will it be enough? It's just, again, the problem of the only three players they have available going forward are Trossard, Nwaneri and Sterling. And I'm not sure if that's good enough right now.
Okay, elsewhere, big win for Wolves at Bournemouth. I think a lot of people potentially would have liked Iraola in terms of thinking he might be a banker for the assistant manager chip. Well, Vitor Pereira, once again, if you've assistant managed him in the last few weeks, you'll have done really, really well, because we talked about Glasner getting 20 points. Potter also got 19 points. Pereira got 19 points as well. 1-0 win away from home for them. They're 5 points above the drop zone now. Mateus Cunha scoring once again. And that's quite timely, isn't it, Sam? Because they've got some nice fixtures coming up.
I so wish I had a forward slot that I could fill with Cunha.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to fill it with Cunha?
Yes. Yes, again.
I'm actually
his hands.
Very jealous of you. Why are you bringing him in, Jules? What do you like?
I just think, but he goes through dips, right? So
he's had a dip. It's all right. He's coming out.
Exactly. But if you look it up, I looked it up. So he hadn't scored. He scored 9 in his last 4, if you count the FA Cup game.
Yeah.
Hadn't scored for 4 before that. Then before the 4 that he didn't score in, scored for 3 in a row, hadn't scored in 3 in a row before that. So this is what he does. So if you catch him at the right moment and then watch him out in midweek, not scoring at all, and then neither the weekend after, now that I'm going to bring him in. But that's what he does. So if you get him at the right time, you know you're in for a really good run. And then you have to just be prepared for maybe 2, 3, 4 games in a row where he's maybe less efficient. I just think that his level of confidence right now, and it's a team that plays better. Now that Vitor Pereira has arrived, they are more organized. They're not going to win every single game, but you know that if they do play well, he's usually then the one that benefits from it by scoring and rewarding the team for the effort and the organization. So great, great form at the moment for him.
Jules, do you know who they play in game week 29 in the blank game week as well? Do you know what their fixture is?
I looked at them. Remind me?
Southampton.
Yes, perfect. So I love a Southampton game.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be looking. Their fixtures, by the way, Fulham, Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Ipswich up next. Don't get too much better. And they have found a little bit of form, haven't they? Because they beat Aston Villa, won in the FA Cup. Then they performed really well against Liverpool, but lost and then won again at the weekend too. So yeah, plenty of interest, I'm sure. Anyone else at Wolves, Sam, or is it all just about Cunha at the moment?
No, I don't think so, because you know the other thing we have to remember in this game is that Bournemouth were down to 10 men. So yeah, their performance was kind of
skewed a bit.
Yeah. Whereas I think, you know, that Bournemouth side definitely on another day score against Wolves, which puts me off the Wolves defence. Like, I don't think the defence is solid enough. Like, it ain't Nouri at the beginning of the season, we all, or midway through the season, we all started going to, because he had this really great run of fixtures, didn't they? And it was like, right, I'll get Ain't Nouri. And he had all this attacking promise and never really lived up to the hype. There was a couple of games in there where he did really well, but never really returned at the level that I think we were all hoping. And I kind of feel like I look at those fixtures that they have coming up, and maybe with the exception of the Southampton game, I can definitely see goals for the opposition in those in the next few weeks. So Cunha, yes, absolutely. I wish I had a forward slot, but there's absolutely no way that I'm selling Mateta in the next couple of weeks, because the man is literally my favourite human being on the planet at the moment. Crystal Palace loving continues, but I think, yeah, I don't have a route to him. I wish I did, but I can't see anyone else I'd want to go to at Wolves.
Yeah, you mentioned the Crystal Palace kind of returns there. Munoz and Mateta both scoring big this game week, which is great if you own them, but it's not great if, like me, you're thinking of bringing them in or would like to bring them in. But of course, as we mentioned on last week's pod and the pod before that and the one before that, we've all got game week 29 at the back of our minds. And it's kind of the same with Newcastle as well, because looking this week, Lewis Hall, he was the most benched outfield player in the game week. He got two assists. Then, of course, Isak returned as well. We've seen players from Aston Villa getting returns too this weekend. It's all kind of happening at the wrong time, isn't it, Jules, in terms of particularly Palace, I feel like, in particular?
Yeah, especially. I mean, because, okay, Newcastle obviously lost the weekend before. But if you look at Liverpool, Newcastle, Villa and Palace, really, of four teams that could blank in game week 29, they are probably the worst that could blank, because I guarantee there will be a lot of managers who have at least one of each, you know, if not more than one of each, really. So it's a bit of a nightmare. There's a free hit available, of course, for game week 29. If you feel like it, if you have too many players and between now and then you can't shift one or two, or don't want to, maybe you just want to keep them all. So in that case, that's probably the best solution that you have.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough, isn't it, Sam? Because all three of those, we'll come on to a free hit. We've touched upon it multiple times over the past few weeks. But if you are invested in them, you've just got some really tough decisions to make, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I have been wanting to buy Munoz for weeks and weeks and weeks, but the blank means I just haven't been able to. I'm grateful that I've got Mateta in, because it's prevented a lot of other, the blank has prevented a lot of other people from going there. So yeah, another assist for him. And gosh, it was unlucky that he only got an assist in that one.
But did you see the dribbling before the
it
assist?
It was ridiculous.
Oh my word. It's like Ronaldo. I told you, you know.
It was one of those where I was watching it and I was like, even Jules will like that.
Do you want me to sing?
Because he properly, no.
Sing?
No,
boom,
we don't.
Boom, boom, boom. Mateta's in the room. They're the better striker than Jean-Philippe Mateta. Boom, 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 boom. Mateta's.
It's Monday morning, Jules. We're tired. Everyone's
listen,
everyone's just
I get
up.
So many messages every week about people who listen to the show who say, oh, I love when you sing boom, boom, boom. Please keep singing boom, boom, boom. So here you go.
Oh, okay, thanks. So yeah, he's got eight attacking returns in the last seven matches. But yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like around blank game week 29, Crystal Palace have got Villa, Ipswich and Southampton. So I don't want to lose him at all. I'm going to hold him because these are sides that I've got the fewest clean sheets going on in the league at the moment. So that there's that. Then you look at Munoz, he's got an assist, a clean sheet and a share of the bonus points this week. That's taken him over 100 points for the season now. Three attacking returns, four clean sheets and two double digit hauls in the last six. Like, and these are players that no one else is buying, because unless you're free hitting in 29, you just can't. So they're enjoyable to own. Mateta, because I think I said this on the pod last week, I have no value in him, as in like he's not risen or fallen since I've owned him. So in game week 29, he can become Cunha, but going into game week 30 again on wildcard, he'll be straight back in my team. And I can't see me going at all for the rest of the season without him. He's such an enjoyable own. And like every time they go to Crystal Palace on the TV, I'm like, oh, that'll be Mateta again then. And he's always involved. And obviously had the goal ruled out for offside, but otherwise it would have been another double digit haul for him.
Jules, your thoughts on this kind of slightly new look Aston Villa attack, or the additions to the Aston Villa attack, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see Asensio doing so well. I mean, we said, I think when he signed, he's a very talented player. That was never in doubt. The thing is, where do you play him? How consistent can he be? Because he's been, well, always quite up and down in his career at PSG, at Real Madrid before, where he could be amazing. And then some games where he won't do too much. I think that position behind Watkins is probably his best. The problem is there is also Rodgers that you can play there. There's a lot of other options that you can have. McGinn there. There's a lot of options now for Emery, even with Rashford, that is probably has been better as an impact sub so far in his Villa career than really as a starter when he started and when he came on. So Rashford was one of the ones I was thinking as a differential. But then again, if he's not a starter, I'm not really sure how wise it would be to bring him into your team. And for Asensio, it's a bit the same. I just think, would that take away a bit of the good things that Rodgers has been doing? This can Asensio play well and Rodgers play well at the same time? I'm not too sure. So I think we need a bit more time on Aston Villa to see what Emery does. However, I think that he will keep rotating. So you'll have Rashford starting one game, maybe Ramsey the next game, Rodgers, Asensio centrally, and a different player wide as well on the right-hand side. I think Watkins is really the only one for me that is guaranteed to start up front. Behind him, I think we might be just to be guessing for every game.
With all of these players blanking in 29 coming into form at the moment, Sam, is the case for a free hit in 29 getting any stronger?
It isn't for me, but that's just with the way that my team is. I think after last season, I'm so wary of the free hit chip and when I play it and how you maximise it so that you don't lose out on, like, I can't have a repeat of last season when the free hit went so badly. Like, I think it has to work properly this year. Yeah. And so when I look at my team, like, I think what George just said about Aston Villa is right. Like, I've got Morgan Rodgers, but I'm happy to sell him. Obviously, he's flagged as well at the moment on the back of that Chelsea game. So I'm happy to sell him. And I think the other benefit of not investing in Villa right now and therefore not using the free hit in 29 is that you can watch the next couple of matches in the Premier League, plus the Champions League matches, plus the FA Cup match, and get a view for what Emery's doing with that team and those players that he's now got in his team, so that by game week 30, hopefully we've got a better understanding of who's playing and where they're playing and how consistently they're starting. Because at that point then, on a wild card in 30, you can heavily invest if you want to in Aston Villa. So for me, the free hit in 29 is still not something that I'm looking at. Having said that, if you've already played your wild card, I think a free hit in 29 makes absolute sense.
Jules, what's your current strategy? You're going to try and get through 29 without a chip, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's enough transfer that you can make between now and 29 to just keep, maybe in my case, Isak, Mateta and Salah have the one that I have to keep and, you know, and not play basically and bench. You can have a goalkeeper like Henderson, keep it because again, you can bench him and play in my case, Sells, who's not blanking in 29. So I think I should be okay. But then again, if you have too many of Liverpool, Newcastle, Villa and Palace's players, then you might be forced in a way to play your free hit in 29, which is fine as well, because I think there's still enough games there and enough good teams, big teams still playing with big players for you to find a starting 11 that would return well for you.
Sam, my memory isn't the best, but if I do remember rightly, when we did play it last year and it was such a disaster, there was far fewer fixtures, wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
There was, yeah. So I think there was only four, possibly five. So there was only, you know, a limited selection of teams to play for. I just think with the free hit, there's so much potential. Like, if you remember last year when we played at Kells, Jules didn't. He played his later. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Jules, you might not remember, but I don't think you even had a full squad out that
week. No, I think that week, yeah. About as many points as you.
Yeah, I think you had more, actually. Yeah. And so I think that's the key for me, is that sometimes when you go into a blank game week, we get all kind of het up on, like, I must make sure that I have 11 players and a bench. Like, in reality, is not necessary to get 11 sometimes. Sometimes actually just having the right 10 is enough to get you through that game week and hold the chip. And I look at that chip and I think, okay, it can be used really productively in a blank game week. We don't yet know what game week 34 is going to look like. We know that that's going to be a blank because of the FA Cup, but we don't know exactly what that's going to be like. But we will, ahead of game week 29, know what that's going to look like. So we can afford to wait and make a decision there. But the difficulty is that if you wait and then think, oh, I'll just decide going into game week 29 whether I'm going to free hit or not, you probably then haven't dealt with the extras in your team who are going to blank. So like for me, Morgan Rogers can be sold this week, and then that puts me in a stronger position going forward. But you kind of have to make that decision almost like now if you're going to play through or if you're going to use your free hit, because you have to use it, or you roll your transfer so you've got four going into game week 29. And then at that point you can go, right, do I use these transfers or do I, you know, play my free hit, or how am I going to manage it? Because of course, if you do play your free hit in 29, then your transfers would roll through with you anyway into 30. So it's not like you would lose them.
It's for game week like 29 with that blank. And again, it's not a big blank because only four teams are not playing. So you still have eight games, which is enough. But those extra transfer that we got this season makes such a big difference because like Sam just said, you can have four and you can make four in a row. So the four players that you have in your squad right now that won't play 29, then you can transfer them. Before, with just two, when you got to a game week like that with blanks, you were like, oh my God, how can I? You had to plan so much in advance. And as we know, we're all great planners on this show, but still, like now, it's much easier, really.
Yeah, it does feel that way, actually, doesn't it? If we're saying don't use it in 29, Sam, just remind listeners when you're planning on using yours.
So probably in 34, but again, we're just going to have to wait and see what game week 34 looks like. The results of the FA Cup are going to be critical in terms of who blanks. We know that we've already got a couple of fixtures going into that week anyway, because Everton and Chelsea and Spurs and Liverpool are already out of the FA Cup. So we know we've got those two matches for certain. If game week 34 ends up being a week that I can also play through, which is what I'm hoping the FA Cup is kind and then we get a decent set of fixtures that works for my team and I can use my wild card to make sure I'm okay for 34, then I'd really like to keep it and play it in 38. Like playing it on that final day is really good because you can really target in on the teams that have got something left to fight for. But yeah, 34 is the other blank around the FA Cup and it's likely to be a bigger blank than game week 29 is. So I'd hold it for then.
Okay, let's bring it back around to game week 27 because we keep talking about 29 even. We keep talking about those 2, 33, 34, 38. But of course, we do have some game weeks before then that we need to prep for. And this is supposed to be the game week 27 preview pod. Tuesday evening deadline, another reminder for you. Don't forget, Julian Laurent, I'm looking at you. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yep. We've already mentioned West Ham. They have a nice fixture. I know you're both a big fan of Jared Bowen. Who else are you looking at for this game week, Sam, in terms of nice fixtures?
Do you know, Kels, when I look at the fixtures for this week, I find it really difficult because the teams that you would think, oh, that's a nice fixture. Like, so Fulham have obviously got Wolves. Now, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'd have gone, right, that's a great fixture for Fulham. Now I'm thinking, oh, well, Wolves have, you know, they're finding some form. Same with Bournemouth. I'm looking at their fixture and going, oh, that would be great about 3 weeks ago. But now Brighton have found form. So it's actually quite hard to like work out who is the best. Like when you think about the teams that have got the best ones, it's probably West Ham, who have got Leicester, Chelsea, who have got Southampton, but then their own little world of pain right now in terms of their performances and the results that they're churning out. I do like the Palace fixture at home to Villa. I think the way that Palace are playing right now, that's a nice fixture. And then on paper, Man United should have a really nice fixture against Ipswich, but it's really difficult to know how you would invest in Manchester United at the moment.
Yeah. Jules, what are you thinking? You agree with a lot of what Sam said there?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the game of the midweek, really. I mean, the two games are Liverpool-Newcastle because it's just, you know, first against fourth, now or fifth, and should be good. And if you remember the reverse fixture at St. James's Park, that 3-3 was a thriller and it was great. But really, Spurs against City is the one where I think Spurs, who are a bit better now with players coming back from injury, could pour even more misery on Guardiola and this City team that is all over the place. So, and especially, like I said earlier on the show, if you're playing or if you want to play or if you have played your assistant manager chip, go for Ange because that, for me, there's no doubt Spurs are going to win that game.
Silence from Sam.
She knows I'm right. I'm always
right. I hope so.
Right.
I'll be there. watching it. So let's hope for the best. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, I think the midweek rounds are always interesting. They're the ones that you're more likely to get some rotation on. But then, of course, for teams like for Spurs and Liverpool, the weekend is free because there's no FA Cup games for us at the weekend. So wouldn't expect any rotation across those teams because of that one. I am thinking about a Spurs midfielder because we do have a really good record against Man City at home. So it could be a really nice opportunity. As Joel said, we're getting our players back now. The attack looked really good against Ipswich at the weekend. And okay, you know, people will say, but you were playing against Ipswich. Well, yeah, of course, but the attack still looked good. And I think with Brennan Johnson there, Tell's making a big difference. His movement is incredible and he's freeing up a lot of space for the likes of Kulusevski and for Johnson and for Son, who had his best game in a long, long time. So you're probably not going Son. He's too expensive for most people to be able to afford to get in your team. But the likes of Kulusevski, who is Spurs' player of the season by such a long way.
Yeah, I agree.
It's such a long way. It's unbelievable how good he's been this year. More take-ons than any, like, he's just so good. He's so good. But yeah, so he's cheap, Tell's cheap, Brennan Johnson's cheap. Like, investing in Spurs is actually quite easy. And if you think that Manchester City's defence isn't going to have improved significantly between yesterday and obviously Wednesday evening, then investing in one of them is not a terrible idea.
Is now the time to reinvest in them in general beyond this fixture, Sam?
I wouldn't defensively still. I still think that there's defensive slip-ups there. But again, I think Danso has made a big difference since he's arrived. He's stabilised things there. But having Vicario back has made a big difference. But yeah, I think so. I think in terms of the attack, like, and it depends on how you want to go. I know Jules went Tell last week.
Yeah.
Brennan Johnson came back into the starting 11 this week and was great. Madison's obviously been back. He didn't start this week. I think there's a bit of easing back in there going on. Plus, there is going to be some rotation across that Spurs front line. There is a lot of players to play in that front, well, those front four positions in reality. So yes, I think so. But it's working out who are the best investments. For me, it would be Kulu. I still think I'd go there if I was going to invest in Spurs. But I do quite like Tell. And I think once he gets one goal, he'll be away.
Okay, well, it's time for us to talk about differential of the week. Jules, you can go first. In fact, I feel bad because Ian's not here and Ian was the only one of the three of you to have a differential that returned last week. He went with Mitoma, who got 8 points with a goal and a clean sheet. Jules, you're going to go first just because you've already revealed yours.
Sorry, yeah.
So go.
I was very excited to go Jai Bowen because he was very efficient against Arsenal. He didn't have much really in the attacking third, but missed a first shot from the first Wan-Bissaka cross on his right foot that went wide. And then the second cross, the header, it was an easy goal for him, but still he made that happen. So only owned by 3.7% of the managers, so proper differential. Okay, it's a bit expensive at 7.3 million, but if you've got that money, if you are thinking about, I don't know, making a transfer, swapping with somebody else, and you've got enough budget there, home to Leicester, we said that. And certainly, I think Bowen and Kudus offensively, because it's still a very defensive West Ham side, this under Potter with a back five, and then a lot of defensive midfielders, which, you, as you know, I don't really like. Suchek and Ward-Prowse and Alvarez. I'm like, come on, please. But anyway, Bowen and Kudus together, I think can create a mess everywhere. And you would expect Leicester are not very good, that West Ham would be more attacking in this game at the London Stadium, and that Bowen will get the rewards for it.
Sam, we know you like his differential. Please tell me you've got another one.
I do have a backup, which I'm going to have to use for the second week in a row.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault, because we both actually got the same points this week. So, you know, whatever. So I'm going to have to go for Christopher Nkunku then. He was my backup, which I'm not thrilled about because he hasn't exactly been setting the world on fire.
That's a hard sell.
It's, isn't the
it's
most
a really
convincing.
Hard sell, yeah. Go on.
It's just a really hard sell because I just had Bowen, really. And then I was like, I think he'll probably pick the same as me. So I had a backup. So in Nkunku, he's a lot cheaper, 5.7. He's owned by 2.1% of the game. So, you know, a nice differential there. He has started the last two fixtures in the absence of Nico Jackson. Chelsea haven't been great in the last couple of game weeks, and Nkunku himself hasn't been great. However, he did get the start in the last midweek round when Chelsea played against Southampton, and he registered 13 points in that one, got a goal and an assist and some of the bonus points. So I think there's potential there. Plus, when you look at Southampton, they've conceded 61 goals this season. That's the most in the league. They've only got two clean sheets. Only Leicester have kept fewer than they have. And over the last four game weeks, Southampton have conceded 11 goals, which is the tied most. So defensively, they're not improving. And so I think with Chelsea going into this week, they will know that they have to start getting back to winning ways. And Nkunku, Palmer, that partnership has got to start working better. So, yeah, Nkunku it is then. But
I mean, Rashford and Asensio would have been two good differentials. One, six million Asensio, Rashford 6.7.
The thing is, though, Jules, I'm not convinced that they will necessarily both get the start. Like, it's hard to know.
But, you know, potentially. It would be hard to bench Asensio after scoring two goals like he did.
It would, yeah. But I think Nkunku has to get the start, and it's Southampton. And I think that's the thing. Like, this the fixture, isn't it? Because that Palace have been really good. And so I don't necessarily think that Villa will go and get a result there, whereas Chelsea really should get a result against Southampton.
That's true.
Jules, you don't get to pick her differential. No, I'm just saying.
Can we get Ian back?
Because she felt a bit like, oh, fuck it. And then Nkunku, who's Paris born and bred, by the way, just that's a reason why you should put him in your team. But also, I was just saying there are other options if you fancy, and we give a lot of things to people.
Okay, transfers and captains. I think the captaincy, there's two really obvious candidates for me in terms of Cole Palmer, Southampton at home, but then how can you not captain Mohamed Salah? Mm. So it's going to be Mohamed Salah, isn't it? Both agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Sam, you looked shocked when I suggested Cole Palmer.
The form's not there. I could not even begin to think about captaining him with the form that Chelsea have. Like, I think, like, having him, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't get rid of him this week, but I just, like, you look at the form that Chelsea have had versus the form that Liverpool have got, you look at the form that Palmer's had versus Salah. Like, I just don't. Sometimes there are weeks to just go, okay, yes, I'll play a differential captain, and Palmer would be a differential captain this week, but for me, he's not even in the conversation with Salah right now.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree. I like, again, watching him yesterday, I was like, wow, this is just, I don't even think he has to try that hard and has to like really raise his game against City. And I think he'd probably be the same against Newcastle. Mm. So yeah, I would not go for anybody else than Mo Salah.
If you both had your assistant managership active, of course, this is the first week for a few weeks that none of us do. Who's the best option for managers who do have it active this week?
Big Ange. 100% Big Ange.
This is getting weird now.
Big Ange. I'm going and Andrew instead.
Poor, that was attitude. No. Can someone pull the wire out of his computer or something? Sam?
You know I'm right, Big Ange.
I do think he might be right.
Yeah, like, thank you very much.
I hate saying this, Jules. But I do think he might be right. I think Ange is probably the best bet. I think Pereira might be a good shout as well, against Fulham. Like, I think he might be good. I wouldn't be surprised to see Moyes get something against Brentford either, the way that Everton have been playing. Like, I don't necessarily think they'll win that game, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a draw there.
Even Glasner against Villa, to be fair. I think Palace at home against Villa. Villa away, not great. Mm-hmm. Glasner can get something against Emery.
Yeah, but Postecoglou would. Yeah, I would go Postecoglou this week.
Come on, Big Ange.
I love Big Ange.
There's almost 1.4 million assistant manager chips active for this game week. So hopefully you've helped a few people out there. And finally, your transfer, Sam, is it just Jarrod Bowen for you?
No, it could be. So Luis Diaz to Jarrod Bowen, I could just do that one transfer, or I could do Luis Diaz and Morgan Rogers out and get Jarrod Bowen and a Spurs midfielder.
Jules?
Ebi Cunha for Gakpo. It's pretty...
Oh, I'm quite jealous about that one.
Mm, me too.
It's okay. You can borrow him if you want.
That's
later.
What happens when you forget the deadline and you accidentally say transfer.
No, it was all planned. All organised. Oh, yeah, all planned.
Yeah. Okay, then it's the final time that I'm going to tell your deadline. Jules, when's the deadline?
Tuesday, 6 o'clock, 6:15.
Six. Don't do it at 6:15. It'll be too late.
6 o'clock.
Yeah, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. That is, of course, UK time. We'll wait to see if Jules actually remembers. Maybe just set your team today in case you forget tomorrow.
I've got a crazy day today. I don't have time, but I will do it tomorrow.
Sam, don't text him. Sam, do not text him. He's got to learn.
Yeah, but then I feel really bad.
Don't feel bad. We've reminded him enough on this pod.
Producer Jesse is in my team. He's gonna remind me.
He might forget as well.
True.
I feel like Jesse's got that in his locker. Yeah. Okay, then we'll be back on Thursday to review game week 27. You lucky lot, twice in 1 week. And of course, we'll be looking ahead to game week 28 at the weekend. Game week 28 isn't the weekend, actually, is it? It's the FA Cup.
It's 2 weekends.
It's two weekends time. So yeah, you're going to hear from us quite a few times before the next deadline. As always, we love it when you rate and review. Have a great game week. The deadline is, Jules?
Tuesday, 6 p.m. UK time.
Bye.